Hi there, and welcome to episode 73 of The Playground Project with me, your host, Tanya Pomerantz. What a delight to have you join my fabulous mystery guest and me on the playground today. If we are not yet connected, please do follow me on LinkedIn. And hey, no need to stop there. Please connect with me as well. So, yeah, I'm still not 100% with my voice, and I apologize for this itchy, scratchy show we've got going on. But in the words of my beloved husband, it is what it is. So, today's fabulous mystery guest is truly a very special person and someone who has introduced me to an organization called Terre d'Asile in Tunisia. They promote the rights of migrants, asylum seekers, refugees, unaccompanied minors, and victims of trafficking in human beings living on Tunisian soil and social cohesion. They strengthen the capacities of Tunisian civil society organizations and public institutions in dealing with the migration issue. They put migration issues on the agenda with public opinion and institutional actors, share documentation and knowledge on the reality of the situations experienced and the needs of migrant populations. Why Tunisia? Well, you know the drill. That's where my fabulous mystery guest is from. Please meet the very inspiring and amazing Amel Djerbi. Welcome et bienvenue, Amel Djerbi. It is absolutely wonderful to have you here on the playground with us today. And you know what? I have to say that sometimes I hear people say, you know, if you're doing a podcast, you should say the listener, speak to the listener. But I kind of disagree with that because I want to talk to the listeners because this is a community that we're building. And so that's really important for me. So to have you here with us is really lovely. And as the listeners, as our community knows, I start by kind of giving a little bit of background of the person's LinkedIn profile. And then I also give context as to how we know each other. So I'm going to do that. So this is Amel, and she is wonderful, as you will see. And her LinkedIn profile is simple. It's to the point. Management Coordination Nonprofit. And how we met is through the OCISO mentorship program. I'm so excited that you're here. Bienvenue, mon ami.
Hi, Tanya. Thank you very much. I was for 10 years a columnist and a radio host, and it's the first time I get used to interview people, and it's the first time in my life I'm getting interviewed in a podcast. I'm so excited too. It was very nice to meet you as a mentor, thanks to OCISO, but also I like being your friend. Thank you very much, Tanya, for welcoming me.
Of course. And I do love that. And I think that that's one of the most wonderful parts about the mentorship program is that you start off as a mentor / mentee, but then you can become friends as we have. And it's such a blessing. And so, yes, I'm so excited for people to meet you. We talked last week. We met in person at, what was it? The Baklawa King, right?
Yes, it's a baklava king. It's a kind of Middle Eastern cafe and patisserie.
And it was absolutely wonderful. It is on Merivale Road across from Emerald Plaza here in Ottawa. And if you haven't been there yet, you must go. It is wonderful. And it is being, I felt it was like being transported to another part of the world, quite honestly. Yes. Lebanon, right? That's where,
yes.
That's
yes.
Where they're from.
From Lebanon, serving Lebanese sweets, and they are very kind people and putting Lebanese music also.
Yes, it was really, really lovely. And, you know, this is how it goes, right? On the playground, we just kind of start talking. I know I have my questions and I'll get to those questions. But one of the things that I so admire about you is your ability to communicate
in three, at least three different languages, English, French, and Arabic.
My English is not really perfect yet. Let's say that I'm doing with it. I'm trying to improve my English while living here in Ottawa. I love all the languages of the world. I would like to speak more than three languages, but let's say we're dealing with these languages right now. I like French. I love French. It was my second language in Tunisia, my native homeland. And Arabic too. Arabic is a very rich language, a very nice one. We will talk about Arabic another time if you want.
I love Arabic as well. There is nothing like the Arabic way of expressing oneself. It is so poetic and so beautiful. Yes, another time we'll chat about Arabic. But, you know, Francais, that is your second language. And what I also, so many things to love about you, Amal, is that when, you know, we speak English, but then you're extremely generous with me to help améliorer mon niveau de français, because it really is, it's tough to learn a different language, another language, especially as we get older, right? When we're younger, it's a lot easier. And as we get older, it's a bit more challenging. But I love having that opportunity to speak in French with you. And you're so generous in your helping me prepare for my exam and things. And I just really appreciate you very much, my friend.
Thank you very much, my friend. This is friendship. This is simply friendship.
Yes. I don't know, but I hope you can feel that I'm giving you a giant hug right now. And I'm feeling a hug from you. So here we go. Let's go. Mon ami. So you mentioned Tunisia. So is that where you went? Is that where you grew up and went to school?
Yes, I was born in a small, beautiful country. It's in North Africa, Tunisia. A country that really fit. I don't know if you know Cesaria Evora. She's a Cape Town singer. She's called La Chanteuse au Pied Nu. She never wears shoes when she's on stage.
Oh, okay.
I advise everyone hearing us to put Cesaria Evora on YouTube. She's a very nice singer, and she has a long story of fighting a big battle with life. So Cesaria Evora has a song that I like very much. It's Petit Pays. Petit Pays means small country. This is Tunisia. My parents come from a small coastal town in southern Tunisia. It's a quite friendly town. And for the past 14 years, it has been home to the International Fine Arts Festival, launched by one of its children. It's an artist called Youssef Rakik. Yes. When you go to my native village, you can find some statues, paintings in the walls. One time in per year in the summer, we have this festival, and it's amazing. I grew up with many memories with this festival. However, I didn't continue my studies there. My family and I lived in four different cities until I graduated from high school and moved to the capital, Tunis, to begin my undergraduate studies. So in Tunisia, I don't know if you know it, at the end of the seventh year of secondary school, we have to pass rigorous national competitive exam, baccalaureate exam. So you absolutely have to pass to be able to enroll at university. University is free in Tunisia. Education in Tunisia is free until you get your university diploma. So I had my marketing diploma in 2006. Then I started a master degree, but I didn't continue. I didn't like really marketing. It was a choice that I didn't make.
Okay. But you made the decision to not study marketing, continue in marketing, right?
Yes.
Okay. So then what decision did you take?
In fact, when I got my baccalaureate in economics and management with honors, I wanted to do either journalism or legal sciences. My father influenced my decision very kindly. And I went to business school. I got my not license because we study 4 years at university. We call this maîtrise in Tunisia. Okay. It's not the same maîtrise here in Canada. Because when you say maîtrise, it means you have what we call in Tunisia master degree.
Okay.
Also with honor. I was a valedictorian this year.
Oh, my goodness.
I promise it wasn't deliberate, Tonya.
How can you be an accidental valedictorian? How did that happen?
In fact, it wasn't accidental. When I start, since my 6 years, when I start studying at school, I was always the first of the class. But let's say it's not, it's a proud for my parents. It's a pride for my parents, but it's not really a big success for me because when you start working, you learn that the most important, it's not diploma or your marks, exam, and if you are the first or the second in the class, but what you really learn during your studies, competencies, soft skills. This is the most important. Languages, not being the first or the last one in the class.
I hear you. Yeah. So there you were, this valedictorian. Not only do you have the hard skills, the knowledge, you also do have those soft skills and those competencies that you're speaking about.
I'm trying to enhance all of this.
So I'm always so fascinated by these journeys. So you're there, you're in Tunis, you're doing well, right? Are you working at this point?
Yes, I'm not really. When I was studying, it didn't really work hard. I worked smart. I insist because now it's different. I had a very good memory. So I memorized everything when I was in classroom. And I answer smart. So when I have a question, and I think that also because I have read many books since I had 7 years old, it helped me very well to write, to convince, to get the best arguments and to get my good marks in the exams.
And so then how did you transition from working smart and studying smart to starting your career? How did that pivot go?
Oh, you know Ratatouille?
No, not enough to know what I'm talking about. Tell me.
Just kidding. It's it's a big story. I decided to quit the familiar house. I took my courage in both hands and decided to become independent. So I left my family to go to Tunis, the capital, because it's big town, and I thought that there was further opportunities there. And I had to work, of course, to pay my bills, my rent, etc. So the best career plan for a beginner like me, this at l'époque, at this time, was working in the call centers. I don't know if you know what does it mean.
Yes, we do. We certainly do here in Ottawa, yeah, in Canada.
A call center. A lot of French enterprises make their call centers, launch their call centers in Tunisia because they can afford less expensive labor. So I worked during 2 years as a call center sales representative. Then I did a series of jobs, marketing assistant in a theater, in a private theater. Journalists and radio hosts, satirical columnists, press relations, and then just before coming here, a program manager in NGOs, non-governmental organizations, non-profit, as people like to say here in Ottawa. So it may seem like a series of radical changes with no visible logic. Sometimes it was by chance. But I follow my intuition, and without any pretension whatsoever, I've succeeded in my mission. I am a passionate and a hard worker, and I never say no to learning. I learn every day from everyone, even kids.
And, you know, I'm sitting here just smiling because you are so inspiring to me. Tell us about the NGO, the non-governmental organization that you were program manager.
Yes. My last experience was with Terre d'Asile. It means asylum land. It's a French non-governmental organization. It's a non-profit and it has an office in Tunisia since 2012. After a big exodus of Libyan and other nationalities when the Libyan revolution started in 2011. And I started working with them in 2022. It was a very hard but very rich experience. It's not easy when you are working with people deprived from everything. They crossed a desert. They come to Tunisia seeking for a better future. They thought that Tunisia is the paradise and that they can be able to cross the Mediterranean Sea to go to Europe, and always thinking that Europe also is a paradise and that they're going to live better in Europe, because Africa is a very rich continent, but a very stolen continent. And a very poor population. This is sad. This is very sad. And I am speaking about people who lived in unhuman conditions when making their path for what they call dream. A lot of violence, rape, slavery, racism because they are black. So it was very, very hard to me. But it was really a strengthening experience. And now I am assimilating myself to them because I am now a migrant. Not at the same conditions, for sure, because Canada offered me the possibility to come by plane with my resident permanent resident card, to have a lot of rights, to be considered from the first day as a Canadian citizen. But these people, these African people who were trying to cross the borders to go to Europe are really a tragedy, a human tragedy, and not the only one in our contemporary human life. Sorry.
No, you're right. You're right. This is the reality. This is the reality. And this is what I keep on bringing it up. But this is what the playground is about. It's an opportunity to talk about the things that are hard, but we have to talk about them, because if we don't, they're just left underneath everything to fester and never get explored and examined and resolved and spoken about more than simply, you know, seeing something, a soundbite on a newscast or something, or maybe something that you see on social media. But to hear your voice speak about the reality, the brutality, the sadness of what people have experienced, I think makes things come into a sharper focus and a more, I don't know what the word is to describe it, just real. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And Tonya, these people really need a loud voice. They don't have voices. No one is speaking about them. Is no one really hear them. And I think, yes, you gave me this opportunity to speak about them. And I hope we can do better and better in the future.
I truly do hope so. And so these people, where in Africa are they coming from?
Especially Nigeria, Congo, Mali, Somalia, Ivory Coast. Countries with armed conflicts in general and a lot of poverty. And in the last year from Sudan, after the civil war starts in Sudan.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Do you want us to?
No. This is your journey. This was your journey. You helped these people, but you came over here. How did Canada come up? I'm so fascinated by people's journeys and decisions. You're there in Tunisia. You're working at this NGO. How did you find yourself here?
Before 2010, my comrades and I had always dreamed of a free and democratic Tunisia. I went out to the demonstrations on January 14, 2011, and wept with joy when the dictator Ben Ali was dethroned. Unfortunately, this dream turned into a nightmare when the Islamists took power. From then on, it was a journey to hell. 12 years later, dictatorship has returned to Tunisia, and worse. In the meantime, I got married and I had children, and my husband and I decided to move to a country that breathes freedom. So we applied for express entry in 2022 and followed the whole process. We were asked to bring a lot of documents, a lot of money. And we succeeded to do it thanks to family, friends, thanks to God. And finally, we got our visa on October 2023. So I left my job to get the time to prepare all the things we needed to prepare before coming here. Selling house furnitures, going, taking the children to the doctors, finishing all the work I had to finish before quitting, and many, many other things. I even don't remember. It was a race, a really race.
I can well imagine. And, you know, this is one of the things that I did want to really unpack today a little bit, was a lot of people, because of the way that the media and the social media work, they just think immigrants. A lot of people don't understand. In fact, I would say the majority of people don't understand the difference between an immigrant and a refugee, or the different types of immigration. I'm thinking part in French, part in English, and nothing's coming out. Processes, I guess.
Excuse me, but I think it's the government mistake, because they don't really explain or speak or, let's say, publish a lot of things about their migration programs. It means, for example, everybody I met here thought that I was a refugee. And when they ask me where I am coming from, when I say Tunisia, sometimes or a lot of times they don't know Tunisia. So I have to explain that I'm coming from a country in North Africa near to Italy, because they know Italy better than Algeria or Morocco. And then people ask me, why did I leave Tunisia? And I say, I'm here looking for a better conditions, life conditions. And I am a skilled worker. I came here as a skilled worker. People don't know there are different migration programs, and that all people, all migrants are not all refugees. And for example, we have, let's say, a better status than refugees, because when we come, we already, starting from Montreal airport, considered as Canadian citizens, and we got our permanent resident cards 2 weeks, I think, or three after coming here, after being established in our house, etc. We've got our health card since the first day. So we've been approached by many associations, non-profit organizations, etc. But it's different for refugees. For example, what I learned from some friends, that refugees, for example, need to wait kind of 6 months to have the permission to work. It's not the case for us. We can work since the first day if we find the job, of course. Right. And this is another dilemma, because when you apply for as a skilled worker, you think that with your foreigner diploma and foreigner experience, you can find a job here in Canada, but it's not true. Canadian, let's say, companies are very tough on this criteria. They always ask you if you have a Canadian experience or a Canadian diploma. So if you don't have a good reference, for example, one people from the community here, you can't find a job. It's very, very hard. So this was my case, for example. I found a job thanks to a friend. He's established here in Canada since 2019. And by chance, when I arrived, the Canadian Museum of History were looking for, not the museum, but Sodexo, were looking for sales people. Mm-hmm. So I applied. I sent my CV, but I was referred by my friend. Then I got this chance to start working with them And voila.
And voila. And so, but right now, you are at a crossroads because you said originally that you were interested in legal sciences and journalism. You've
yes.
done the journalism thing, but it sounds like you are on a different path, a new pathway at this
yes.
point, right?
Yes. I applied for Collège La Cité to a paralegal course, and I'm starting studies on September the 3rd, and I'm very excited because it was a dream in Tunisia. I didn't have the time to do it, but now I hope I go to the end with this dream. I will start with this post-secondary collegial diploma first as a paralegal, and then maybe continuing studies and becoming a lawyer. Why not?
I love that. Why not? Absolutely. Why not? You have so much to offer. And, you know, just on behalf of us here in Ottawa and Canada, thank you for coming here because you just enrich us even more. So merci beaucoup, mon ami.
And thank you, Tanya. Thank you. A big thank for you and for every people I've met here in Canada since 6 months. I arrived with my family in March. And let's say that I never felt alone because here, when you ask for help, you have this help. I was helped by many services, by many people. Actually, it's hard. It's hard to get some services, but you get them at the end. And what's different, for example, from Tunisia, and it's a very big difference, that here, when you contact organizations or governmental administration, we answer you. We go back to you and we take the time to explain to you what you should do and if you have the right to get this thing or not. And this was amazing for me. It's the first time in my life I have been experiencing democracy, the right democracy. So thank you, Tanya, and I thank everyone hearing me, if he knows me, and if he was dealing with me for the past 6 months.
That is so sweet. That is so sweet. And I, you know what, I'm reminded of a difference between refugees and people who come here through the skilled workers program or anything. Refugees come here, they don't necessarily want to be here.
Yes, yes. It's very important to take into consideration the cultural differences. And I think that people governing this country should be aware of these cultural problems. Hopelessly, reading some very bad and racist comments sometimes in the social media about some nationalities, including Arab people, putting them in the same basket, saying that migrants are not good, they are here to take the welfare, they don't like to work. But it's not true. You can't judge people if you don't know them. And it's the same thing for refugees and other migrants as well. So we can't judge Canadian without knowing them. We need to exchange our experience to live together. This is very important. Community is very important. It's crucial to keep one's roots. And this diversity is a very nice element in the society. But we need also to live together, not every community apart. Arabs need to live with Canadian need to live with Indian need to live with Somalian, etc., etc. We are all, at this time, Canadian people, and we should have the same respect for the same flag and find common ground for living with respecting each other's specificity. It was clear?
That was very well said. Now, you've done a lot of amazing things in your life. You've had a lot of amazing things happen in your life. What are you most proud of?
I'm proud to have preserved my principles and values in a world of consumerism. We talked about consumption and consumerism last Saturday. Proud to have left my comfort zone and migrated to a country I barely know. I'm proud of my friends, my family, my husband, my children, who have always been, let's say, the belt that protects me from my mistakes and defeats. I'm proud of my faith. I'm proud of being here, proud of being empathic, right?
It's you can say empathetic.
Empathetic, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Empathy is the word.
It is.
Proud of knowing you too.
Oh, you. Well,
being your friend.
And I feel the same way. I am definitely enriched. I use that term, and I use the term grateful, because that's a big one for you and for our paths crossing, because they crossed in a couple of different ways, right? It wasn't just the mentorship. It was the Empowering Racialized Newcomer Women program.
Yeah.
That's how we first talked before we even knew that we were going to be matched together.
Yes.
And I can remember just being so impressed by you and your experience and your the value that you bring. So when I listen to you, I absorb your words, and I listen with my heart, I listen with my head, and you make me think, and you make me reflect on things in a way that I may not have before, and I really appreciate that.
Oh, I had emotion. Oh, sorry. I have no words, Tonya. Je suis émue.
Let's end on a great note, okay? On a very positive note. Let's talk about joy. What brings you joy?
It's very simple to me to get joy. To be in beautiful place with people I love, to see children smiling, to make and drink coffee. I love making and drinking coffee. To talk to my best friend, to see a beautiful movie, a beautiful play, listen to beautiful music, read a book, helping someone in need, make such a conversation, for example. All of this. There are simple things that can resume all the joy in the world.
You're so right. And you know what? I do want to share, because I love this. This is one of the things that when it happened last week, I just loved it. So you shared some music with me, and I shared some music with you.
I love it. I love your music.
Thank you so much, because he is such an important part of my life. And so when we met, I brought you the Rising from Bruce Springsteen. And I said, the first thing I said was, this is his work that he did right after 9/11.
Yes.
And then we just went into it. We talked about everything. We talked about the situation in Gaza. We spoke about basically everything, like everything. And you held my hand. You said, you know, I was nervous. I didn't know what we were going to be speaking about, what we could talk about. But you said to me, you're just as Arab as I am. And that has really stuck with me. I love that. Because it's that directness. I'm learning more and more about different types of cultures, indirect versus direct, and individualistic versus collectivist. And so I really enjoy learning about that. And so when you said that to me, I just loved it, because that's who I am. I'm like, let's talk about everything. Let's put it all on the table and be respectful and kind and supportive of each other and learn from each other. And that speaking with you is just a gift, I have to say. And I know you've got your family and they love you and they're a big fan of you, but I am such a fan of yours, Amal.
I am a fan of you, Tonya. I said you are as Arab as me, because when you saw me, you hugged me. This was the first time we met in real life, and you hugged me. You paid the cafe and the baklawa. You brought a gift with you. And this sounds very Arabic. Very Arabic. So I was really impressed. It was like I'm just meeting an Arab friend. And I have, when I left the house coming to you, my husband asked me how many time this will last. How long I'm staying outside. And I said, this is our first meeting. I think we were not exceeding 1 hour. I was thinking she is Canadian. Canadian don't have much time. You know, some stereotypes. We all have stereotypes in our head. So we stood together 3 hours, 2 hours and a half. 2 hours and a half. And this was amazing. And it was a very nice, very nice appointment.
It was lovely. It was absolutely lovely. And you brought me some, how do I say it? Besamas? How do I say what you brought me?
Besisa.
Who?
Besisa.
Besisa.
Yes.
Okay. And let's share what's that made of, please.
Cereals. Blé.
Grains? Oh, blé is wheat.
Wheat, yes. And orge.
Ooh, I don't know what that one is.
Barley?
Barley.
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 Barley. And hummus.
And hummus is in there.
Okay. Boichish.
Ooh, I don't know that one.
I'd give you the receipt. It's simpler.
Okay.
I'll tell my mother to send me the receipt.
Amal, you are wonderful. Now, the one last question. Do you have a favorite quote or motivational words that you live by?
Yeah. The founder and the father of sociology, Abdelrahman Ibn Khaldun, I don't know if you know him. He was born in Tunisia in the 14th century. And he said that justice is the pillar of society. Without justice, and this is my interpretation, no society, no people, no community in the world can claim to be prosperous. I think that justice is the most important thing that had to prevail in this world. Justice, it means starting from very little stuff. Justice between our friends, our children, justice in work, justice in governing populations. Justice is very, very important, because when people feel oppressed or they're treated in balance with other people, they make them angry, and it creates a kind of bad feelings in the society, in the families. And I think justice is the pillar for good societies.
I agree with you. Very much I do. And today you are going to go and see the Pride Parade, right?
Yes. I'm excited. It's the first time I'm going to observe and participate. Not really participate because I will just watch. Mm-hmm. But I like doing it. And I'll send you a message after
coming back home,
describing my feelings.
I will look forward to that. You are just such a special person. And I hope this was a good first interview, first podcast for you.
It was very nice. I didn't see the time going. And I thank you. Thank you very much, Tonya. And thanks God I met you. I hope I'll see you other times in the future. Gross bees. Gros bisous, bisous.
Thank you so much, Amal, for sharing your story, your resilience, and compassion with us on the playground today. Here are the top 10 takeaways from our chat. And they're not in any order. These are just thoughts. Terre d'Asile. I had never heard about this before, but this is the organization that Amal worked with before migrating to Canada. The link is going to be in the show notes. And this is an important organization to know about. Number two, Cesaria Evora. Amel has expanded my musical knowledge, and I have learned there are more musicians other than Bruce Springsteen in the world. A link to her information will be in the show notes as well. She said, Africa is a stolen continent, and she is so right. We talked about the countries with armed conflict and poverty, like Nigeria, Congo, Mali, Somalia, Ivory Coast, the civil war in Sudan. These are the countries people are fleeing from. Immigrants and refugees are not the same thing, but most people may not know this. Number six, for Amal, justice is the pillar of society. Amal is a passionate hard worker who never says no to learning. Number eight, asylum seekers need a loud voice. And although this was a sad topic, we are both happy that we were able to start the conversation. Number nine, she and her husband chose Canada because they wanted to move to a country that breathes freedom. How's that? As a Canadian, if you're a Canadian and you're listening to this, you heard about somebody that wanted to come to a country that breathes freedom. That's amazing. And I think that's such an important word in our society today. And number 10, she's grateful for everyone she has been dealing with over the past 6 months. She believes people need to have respect for each other and find common ground while at the same time respecting each other's differences. Wow, what a powerful and important way to end the discussion. I loved this conversation. What a chat. Thank you once more, Amal. Merci beaucoup encore, mon ami. I'm really looking forward to connecting with you on Instagram, and you can find me at puddlejumpcoaching001. I am super excited to welcome my next completely fabulous mystery guest onto the playground next time. And until then, please be good to yourselves, to others, to animals, and the environment. Here's to next time, when we will jump into the future together.